Welcome to the Mic Drop with Benjamin Garcia, brought to you by Creshman Media. Ben'll be bringing you all his hot takes daily about the wide world of sports. And here's your host, Benjamin Garcia.
Pat, what is up, guys? Welcome into the Mic Drop. Myself, Benjamin Garcia. Thank you so much for choosing me to continuously be a part of your Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays when I team up with my guy, Chris of Creshman Media. There are so many things to get into in this edition of the Mic Drop, but do me a favor. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, potentially even tell a friend about this show and follow me on all social media platforms at Ben Garcia Show. The NFL is ramping up. And just a couple of days ago, I believe it was on Tuesday, we were exactly 1 month from the NFL season. So with that being said, there's a lot of things we got to catch up on. Let's go here. So there has been a lot of conversations, a lot of topic of discussions in the NFC West. Who should be the team to fear? Myself, a Cardinals guy, but not just a Cardinals guy, but someone who covers the team, expects them to be better. I expect the Seattle Seahawks to potentially pull back a little. That is, unless Sam Darnold is awesome. And then, of course, there's Los Angeles Rams. Everything depends on Matthew Stafford and his health. But we expect them to be a pretty good team. Jared Verse. We know they got Quinton Lake in the back as a safety. We know they've got numerous weapons. Davante Adams, Puka Nacua. They just re-signed their guy. And Kyren, so they're a team as well. They have to respect the NFC West, and that likely should be the favorites, as well as kind of near with them, the Arizona Cardinals. However, it really is a what are we going to get out of Kyler Murray? Out of the first 6 years of his season, he's been mostly a 12-game quarterback, where it's great for the first 12 games, but right as that bye week hits, it's not great. So, moving on from those two teams, I think there's a team out there that is going to get, I mean, it's so frustrating. It's so easy to give a prediction about this team and basically put it in the perspective of, oh, they're going to be great this year. When in reality, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be a fake good team this year. Now, what do I mean by that? What does fake good mean? Well, you look at their schedule, and it is incredibly easy. You got the, to open the season, I mean, just go with the quarterbacks, right? To open the season, Sam Darnold, Tyler Shuck, Kyler Murray, who's up and down, Trevor Lawrence, we're still not sure about, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, like, those are some pretty fairly good quarterbacks. But after that, it's a lot of, Jackson Dart or Russell Wilson. Again, Kyler Murray again, but Bryce Young's and whoever the Browns are going to start, maybe they just go with six wide receiver sets. Cam Ward, Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, and Sam Darnold again. They end their season, the last six games of the season, against Bryce Young, whoever the Browns are starting, Cam Ward, Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, and Sam Darnold. They might be a team that wins 9 to 10 games, but strictly off of coaching alone, and they'll be a product of their schedule. But here's what's pretty clear about the San Francisco 49ers. I've seen a decent amount of big name sports personalities come out and just say, this team's going to be really good this year. And I ask why. You were ostracized for making the point of, yeah, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Like, we no one thinks he sucks. But is he mostly a product of the Avengers around him? George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk is a Pro Bowl fullback. He was stacked everywhere. And what happened when one of those guys got injured? Well, in Brock Purdy's career, he's got 2 wins in 8 tries without Trent Williams. As well as, when you look at the Christian McCaffrey statistics, without CMC, he is 6 for 7 in his career. The 49ers are going to be a fake good team this year. I don't know how you look at them and you see that they lost Hufanga and Charvarius Ward and say to yourself, well, we got Robert Saleh back, the failed head coach of the New York Jets. Our defense is somehow going to be better. And then offensively, Juwan Jennings is in the middle of contract disputes. Yep, another one for John Lynch. Trent Williams missed some games last year. He's only getting older. You get more injured as you get older, not less injured. Wide receivers-wise, Brandon Ayuk, who is still out with the torn ACL, do we expect him to be great right away? Ricky Pearsall is a massive question mark. We still don't know anything about him. He was seen as an overdraft last year. No more Deebo Samuel, who you could argue potentially addition by subtraction. And then we're all just going to say Christian McCaffrey is going to be great this year. We're all just going to lean on the fact that Christian McCaffrey, who had phantom Achilles injuries last year, went to different countries to make sure that those things were healed up correctly. And now he's just going to go back to being 26-year-old elite-level Christian McCaffrey. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. The Niners, once again, will be a team that wins 9, maybe 10 games. But I could see 8-7 wins. And it's because their roster, just not that great. The offensive line is suspect, to say the least, outside of Trent Williams. We've already talked about the weapons. It is not great. And we've seen Brock Purdy when you just take away one of his weapons. It's not the same quarterback. But defensively, I mean, it is a joke. Deamonor Lenore is a solid corner. Mykel Williams is a rookie, but I think he's going to be fairly effective. Nick Bosa is more flash than he is an actual elite-level pass rusher. Last year, he only had 9 sacks, and the years before that, as he's getting paid $30-plus million a year, 10.5 sacks. He had 1 year where he had 18.5. That's where he got that massive extension. But it hasn't been, like, when I talk about Nick Bosa, I don't talk about him being one of the elite-level pass rushers in the NFL. Fred Warner is good, but it's not a premium position in the middle linebacker spot. The roster is not great for the San Francisco 49ers. And with Brock Purdy, we've seen what happens to him. Oftentimes, when you give him, or I'm sorry, when you take away a couple of his weapons, I've seen this team being picked as a hot button, pushy, trendy playoff team. I can't see it. They've lost a lot of weapons. Deebo Samuel, Hufanga, Charvarius Ward, they're all gone. Brock Purdy's a solid quarterback, but what happens when you take away the solid quarterback's weapons? He becomes an under 500, below average quarterback. So I think that there is actually a world where the 49ers flame out, win 5-6 games, and they fire Kyle Shanahan, or they mutually part ways from Kyle Shanahan, who I think is awesome. But last year, we already saw some of the, I mean, it's just nonsense, but some of the, I guess, crossbows that have been thrown Kyle Shanahan's way. Oh, it's his playbook. No. It's the personnel around him. Oh, he's too stubborn. No, he has a limited quarterback. And so I think the person that could fall on the sword this year is two guys. John Lynch, who should have fell on the sword a long time ago and is the most overrated general manager potentially in football. And Kyle Shanahan, who I think is awesome, a elite level head coach. But because expectations are seen as higher for this San Francisco 49ers team, he's also going to have his seat warmed just a little bit. But because of this roster, because of the quarterback, because of the consistent injuries to the San Francisco 49ers, you can't expect this team to be anything more than a hopeful playoff team. And when they get in, they will be nowhere near some of the elite level talents in there. But I've got them finishing third in this division. I think the Rams are better, who I think will win this division. I think the Cardinals are better, who swept them last year. I think the Niners are the third team. And the Seahawks bringing up the rear, a very solid fourth team. But because of the deficiencies of talent and the fact that Sam Darnold has had one good season in the eight seasons he's played, I can't put him much higher. So with that being said, you know, we'll see about the Niners this year, but I've got a bad feeling about them. Let's move it over to the Philadelphia Eagles. So one of my worst takes last year, and that's what you'll get on the show, some transparency, because I think it's funny too when I'm wrong. However, one of my worst takes last year, I said on the Ben Garcia show when I was still doing national things that I couldn't believe the Philadelphia Eagles paid Saquon Barkley. And I don't think necessarily that take was incredibly wrong, because running backs were not seen as premium positions and the Eagles had massive holes in their secondary. But to be fair, they filled up those holes in the secondary with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. And it's just funny to see how wrong you could be, because without Saquon Barkley, they don't win the Super Bowl. They're not even I don't even think they're a conference championship team. And it's funny when you say that, and Eagles fans will agree with you, and then you say, yeah, Jalen Hurts, he's a solid quarterback. When you put Jalen Hurts in the Brock Purdy tiers, we're like, he does a couple of things well, but he's not the most accurate. They don't really trust him to throw the ball downfield a ton, hence the reason why they were one of the worst passing teams in the NFL. And then people will tell you, well, yeah, it's because they didn't have to. They could just run the ball. Okay. Well, the Chiefs could run the ball. Isaiah Pacheco is great, but they have Patrick Mahomes. They're not worried about throwing it downfield. Jalen Hurts came in on a list a couple of weeks ago on the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, as ranked on by coaches, executives, and scouts. And it went as followed: Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, which I think is a little high after one season, but he was really good. Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert. That one is crazy. At some point, we're going to talk about why winning needs to matter more and not just being 6'5 and a big arm and Justin Herbert. Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield. I actually think Jalen Hurts is a little high on this list. I think Baker Mayfield's better. But calling Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and in this instance, the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, is not a slight at Jalen Hurts. Also, who gives a damn? The dude just won a Super Bowl, and he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. But on a team that doesn't pass the ball a lot, I'm going to judge you for that. Might not be your fault, but I can't just say you're an elite level quarterback when you don't throw the ball as much as other teams. And your team doesn't feel like they trust you to toss it downfield as much. And AJ Brown last year mentioned, what was the problem? Our passing game. How am I supposed to ignore all those red flags? You can absolutely say in the same breath, Jalen Hurts is good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's had some of his best games and the biggest moments. And he's a solid to good quarterback in the NFL. He's not great. He's not elite. You can't look at me with a straight face and say, Mayfield's not better. Maybe Jared Goff I'd give to you. But even Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I saw one dude that I know who's a good dude, but he had put Jalen Hurts as the second best quarterback in the NFL. There's no argument to be made there. It is okay to say the Eagles have a stacked deck. Jalen Hurts has the ability to make teams pay with that stacked deck. His contract is mostly team friendly. I saw something yesterday where it was like Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, and Jalen Hurts' contracts all have a combined like $40 million cap hit which is why the NFL salary cap is just a figment of your imagination to make you feel better. You can front load contracts, back load contracts, give players signing bonuses. You don't ever have to be in cap hell. Your owner just is cheap. And I hate to break it to you, but that's just the case. But looking at Hurts's record and the players that he has around him, like, guys, this is the same guy that once got benched for Tua Tagovailoa, who we'll talk about in just a second here. He's a solid quarterback, but 9th, 10th is the exact right place to put him. If you had a quarterback draft and the Eagles had a top 5 pick, do you really think they're taking Jalen Hurts with the 5th overall pick? Let's just take the green colored glasses off. Let's examine this for what it is. He's a solid quarterback in the NFL. An extremely solid quarterback. But it's like the Brock Purdy thing. You can't tell me how elite you are and then have Saquon Barkley in the backfield, AJ Brown all the way to the right side, Dallas Goedert in the middle that is for some reason a 4th option on this team, and the best offensive line. There is something to the Eagles that feel like, hey, Hurts is good, but we have to surround him around with the elite talent. Otherwise, they'd put most of that talent on the defensive side. They don't do that with Mahomes or Allen. They do it with Burrow, but that's another story for another day. But with Allen and Lamar and Mahomes, look at the Ravens' defense. Look at the Bills' defense. Look at the Chiefs' defense. They put a lot of those weapons over there because they know they can do more with less. And Hurts hasn't shown the ability to do that. It's not an indictment on Jalen Hurts. It's just properly rating him. Because then if you're an Eagles fan, you're putting unfair expectations on every single year. We should just be winning the Super Bowl. That's not the case. And it never will be the case with Jalen Hurts. You will continue to put yourself in mind-boggling expectations. And it kind of leads me to this. I actually still believe the Philadelphia Eagles could go back-to-back this year. But when I name the reasons why, it's not the top 3 reasons aren't Jalen Hurts. It's mostly the same team. And continuity matters. And do I think the Eagles secondary with Blankenship, Jean and I just said his name, Quinion Mitchell, are going to get worse or better in year 2? Well, better. And Nakobe Dean and that defensive line and Vic Fangio. Do I think they're going to get worse or do I think they're going to get better? Probably better. And on the offensive side, AJ Brown isn't old. Dallas Goedert's not old. This Eagles team is the Niners team from a couple years ago. They're not old yet, and they're going to run off a bunch of Super Bowl runs. When you ask me what team in the NFC can go toe-to-toe with the Eagles right now, outside of maybe the Buccaneers who have just had their number over a couple of games, which is just really just a weird thing. I don't know how much that has to do with actually the Buccaneers being awesome. But this Eagles team, man, I think they could absolutely go back-to-back. But none of the top 5 reasons are because, dang, Jalen Hurts is slinging the football. Whew, we're going to be excited about that. Especially when A.J. Brown last year mentioned, what's your biggest weakness in the game? Or what's the biggest weakness in this Eagles offense? Passing? Your star wide receiver can't say that, and then you tell me. Your quarterback is awesome. He has looked great in the biggest games, and that's what the difference is between him and Brock Purdy. Purdy, not so much. You can put him on the 2-yard line, and it's an automatic touchdown because the tush push is just lethal. But this is the same team 2 years ago. Add Saquon Barkley. He's not even the most offensive important piece. If we were talking about the most important pieces on the Eagles offense, we would name Saquon, A.J. Brown, probably three separate offensive linemen. And then we get to Jalen Hurts. And that's just what it is, guys. It's not going after the guy. It's just simply being honest. He's a top 10 quarterback, but he's closer to the 10th spot than he is the one spot. And that shouldn't be controversial. All right. Rounding out the show. This one's interesting because I've seen this as well floated out there. And I just don't get it. Mike McDaniel playing for his job this year, coaching for his job this year. And a lot of it is based off of, well, you know, he's just a little nerdy. Oh, well, players just don't respect him. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, who's been seen as such a high character guy in the locker room, in any team, the Chiefs shipped his ass off. Yeah, no. It's Mike McDaniel's fault that Tyreek Hill, who's, I think, just got another woman pregnant and is in the locker rooms and, it is seen as a, you know, headache at times, demanding trades, like all of this nonsense with Tyreek Hill. And that's what we're pointing to. Here is the biggest reason why if the Dolphins got rid of Mike McDaniel, it would be complete and utter chaos. Let's go here. If Mike McDaniel was fired today, how many teams would immediately call him up and hire them the head coaching position? Let's just take a look. So the Bills, I mean, Sean McDermott or Mike McDaniel. I think it's really close. But I guess you got to go with Sean McDermott for now. John Harbaugh, you wouldn't. D'Amico Ryans, you wouldn't. Sean Payton, you wouldn't. Coach Schottenheimer, Brian Schottenheimer, or Mike McDaniel? Mike McDaniel. The Cowboys would. I think the Bears probably would not right now. The Falcons, depending how this season goes, they might. Cardinals, probably not. They're happy with Jonathan Gannon. The Rams, no. Panthers, no. Lions, no. Giants, we'll see how it goes with Brian Daboll this year. Chiefs, Colts probably would with how poorly Shane Steichen has been. Zach Taylor, I think Mike McDaniel is an upgrade. Mike Vrabel, probably not. Aaron Glenn of the Jets. Cleveland Browns, probably not. I like Kevin Stefanski. Steelers, depends how it goes with Mike Tomlin this year. Jaguars with Liam Cohen. Titans. I mean, I'm counting off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 teams who would be in better positions with Mike McDaniel as their head coach. And that's the guy you want to get rid of. What were the Miami Dolphins before Mike McDaniel? I understand he's a little goofy. He's a little quirky. Says weird things. It's not, you know, he doesn't look like a football player. Like, I'm sure that does play some sort of a role. But can we just be honest here? The Dolphins were a laughingstock. Do you remember what Tua Tagovailoa was like under Brian Flores? They were going to get rid of him. Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa didn't even get along. Tua was quoted saying he thought he sucked. You know what Mike McDaniel did when he got hired? Compiled hundreds of Tua Tagovailoa's throws. And said, you don't suck, watch this. And built him up. No one thinks Tua Tagovailoa is a top 10 quarterback. I think he's fringe top 15. And Mike McDaniel is taking him to the playoffs. Oh, he lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, let me mark that down. That's a, oh wait, everyone does. He can't control Tua Tagovailoa's health. He's a guy who's had multiple concussions at this point. You're going to blame injuries on Mike McDaniel? You can blame how he's managed injuries. But what is a better option out there? The Dolphins' offense has never looked more creative since what, Bill Walsh or you know, since the Bill Walsh offense with sorry, I got to pull something up here in just a second, but when it was the, like the Bill, hasn't been as creative as since like a Bill Walsh offense with the San Francisco 49ers years ago. But Don Shula offense with the Miami Dolphins, is that the last time they've had a capable offensive team and they've looked creative? I mean, Tua Tagovailoa was on his way out of the NFL. Pair him with Mike McDaniel, he's not the same player anymore. I just would be curious to see what Dolphins fans have to say about this in terms of why they either dislike or like Mike McDaniel. Do I think there are some things that drive me a little insane with him? Do I think he can be at times just a little too kiddish, take things a little too easy, be a little bit more intense? Sure, but I can't argue with the results. When he has his starting quarterback, he's a completely different team. They're a playoff team. And the Dolphins before him were never that. They always had issues trying to get to the playoffs. He's evolved their offense. He's evolved Tua Tagovailoa. He's changed the culture of that loser organization. And now all you want to do is move off from him? I'm sorry, I just can't subscribe to that. What's the better option on the market? If you cut someone today, and immediately they become the hottest coaching hire prospect, you are doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. And even though there are fans out there who don't buy into the Mike McDaniel thing, look at the results, man. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's exactly what you subscribe towards. But Mike McDaniel is a top 8 head coach in the NFL. And if he got the right quarterback, imagine what he'd do with Allen or Burrow or Mahomes or Jackson. I mean, if the Bengals fire Zach Taylor at the end of the year, Mike McDaniel would be a perfect fit in Cincinnati. And then once he gets his quarterback, that's when you can judge him more harshly for what has or hasn't worked out. It's not on him. It's on likely everyone else. But if that's what ownership wants to do, if they want to move off from their star head coach, that's on them. And it would be par for the course for a Dolphins organization that has been off its rocker since they lost Dan Marino. And that's just ultimately what it's been. A dysfunctional front office and ownership group. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys making the Mic Drop a part of your day. We are live Tuesdays and Thursdays and with Chris Kretschmann of Kretschmann Media. Him and I will do a show together on Sundays. So follow me on all social media platforms at Ben Garcia Show. Follow the show on all Instagram platforms. I got to pull that up for you guys, so you guys actually know what it is you're trying to, you know, you're actually trying to look at. However, can't find it right now. I'm assuming it's Mic Drop on Instagram. But if you follow me on social media platforms, you can go to my following and you can find it there. But do me a favor, like, share, subscribe to this channel, follow me on all social media platforms, and I will see you guys on this channel tomorrow.